Thank you for downloading this sermon from Heritage Baptist Church. We are so glad that you did. We believe that biblically faithful, Christ-centered, God-glorifying local churches are the primary means that God has chosen to expand His kingdom. If you are part of such a church, we hope that this message will supplement your spiritual diet. If you aren't yet part of such a church, we would love for you to visit us. For more details, please check out our website, www.heritagebaptist.co.za.
We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ not because we believe that He was actually born on December 25th, but because His birth is something worth celebrating. And this evening, I want to convince you of that importance, of that reality. Why this one person's birth is worth making much of. Why this one person's birth is worth us considering and thinking about wherever you come from. Whatever your background is, whatever your vocation is, whatever your social class is. Here is a birthday. We don't know the exact date, but here is a birthday worth thinking of. And the passage that's going to guide our thinking this evening very briefly is John chapter 1, verse 14 to 18. And I have three things from this passage that I want you to see. The first thing is that this one's birthday is special because He is the Word become flesh. The second thing I want you to see is that this one's birthday is special because from Him we receive grace upon grace. And thirdly, I want to show you something quite cataclysmic in this passage, that from this one's birth, we get God revealed to us. So come with me if you have in your iPhone or your iPad or whatever gadget you have, or your physical copy of God's Word, John chapter 1, verse 14 to 18. John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, 'This was the one whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known.'" This is God's Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I've entitled this message, "He Has Arrived." Now those words, "He Has Arrived," could have joy or dread related to them. It all depends on who He is, doesn't it? If you owe James money, and you have been putting off your meeting with James, right? Mind you, it's December. And you've been putting off your meeting with James, and then someone comes to you and says, "James has arrived." You don't have joy in your bones, especially if the 25th has not arrived yet. Rather, you're thinking, "What explanation am I going to give to James now?" But if you're at the hospital and a baby, where the birth pangs have hit the mom, and we're waiting to hear the news, and then the person comes out of the birthing room and says, "He has arrived." It's a very different feeling, isn't it? A feeling of joy. Well, when we say "He has arrived" in our context, who are we talking about? John tells us that this is the Word. Now, of course, if you know, if you are knowledgeable about Christianity, you know that Christianity was not written in English. The Bible was not originally written in English, it was written in Greek. And what John is saying here, he is calling Jesus the Logos. The word that is used here is the word Logos. And by saying, calling him the Logos, he is doing something quite fascinating here. What John is doing is that he is addressing humanity's deepest longings. And here humanity's deepest longings, our desire for meaning, for truth, and for real knowledge. Humanity has been seeking meaning, truth, and real knowledge. The Greeks envisaged this logos as the cosmic entity that brings together all logic, that makes everything make sense. And John is saying, look no further. That meaning, that truth that we're all desiring, that brings together, that makes sense of all of existence, he has arrived. And he is telling us that he has arrived and has arrived in the flesh. All of humanity has been seeking this, has been seeking meaning, truth, and real knowledge. The ancient Greeks longed for this logos, this rational principle behind everything. They searched for it in different ways. The Eastern traditions pursue enlightenment, to see reality as it truly is, going up to the mountains, the monks, to try and understand the deepest meanings of existence. Western culture, even today, tells us to look within yourself to find truth and identity. But here's the rub in all of this, is that despite all this searching, it is thousands of years of humans' existence, and where people are still feeling lost, people are still feeling fragmented, people are still confused. The questions, despite all of the searching in all the traditions, east, west, north, south, in all the cultures of the world, with all the search, everybody, we have not arrived anywhere. In fact, you've noticed even in our own country, how people want to now reject the things of the past. Let's reject traditions. Let's reject the things that our forefathers did. Why? Because we are feeling some kind of disconnect from their search for the truth and where they landed. We have not arrived at this truth. Even empirical evidence, if you don't want to just take my word for it, even empirical evidence confirms this. I have a number of studies here that show us that the search for truth and meaning leads us to nowhere. One international study of 1,200 meditators found that 1 in 4 had distressing experiences, anxiety, fear, emotional turmoil, or even a frightening loss of their sense of self. Other research shows meditation can cause increased anxiety, even resurfacing trauma or a sense of disorientation. Even in the West, this inward search often fuels despair. Psychologists consistently find that people who turn inward into self-reflection, that quickly turns into rumination, which strongly predicts depression, anxiety, and hopelessness. If somebody is so inward focused and so fully ruminated, trying to find meaning in themselves, that is a key predictor of depression, anxiety, and hopelessness. I can give you the references for this afterwards. I'm not making this up. In short, wherever you go, east or west, the answers are still out of reach as we search for the truth on ourselves. But John's message is different. He says to us, the Logos, the Word, became flesh. The meaning behind the universe did not wait for us to find him out, but rather he came to us. In a form that we recognize, he became a man. In our tradition, this is the center of Christmas. We do not come to discover God. We do not come to discover meaning, but rather God reveals himself. Jesus is God's final, clear, gracious self-expression. The truth is no longer hidden behind meditation or buried in your inner world. It is rather stepped into history in a person that you can know. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so it is my challenge to you this evening, if you have been gripped by this search, if you've tried to find meaning, and you're trying to find some kind of thing that you can base your existence on, something that matters, something that goes beyond yourself, I'm encouraging you to not go to all these other things that empirically we see lead nowhere, but rather to come to God as He has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am that I am. Jesus Christ says that in me you will find life and find it abundant. Jesus Christ says, all who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Do you know what rest is? Do you know what rest is? What is it to rest? I know you are in Joburg, so you don't even know the concept. You're always side hustles, triple hustle. How many hustles are you going to have? It's like when you meet someone in Joburg, you have to say, hey, in fact, busy, 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 busy. How are you doing? Busy, busy, busy. No, I didn't ask your vocation. I asked, how are you doing? No, I'm busy. That's how I'm doing. That's how we think. But we need rest. We need to find a place where we can anchor our hearts and our souls. And Christ says, come to me. I will be that rest. Stop this endless search. Stop these things, these snake oil magicians. Come to me, and I'll give you true rest. This is who He is that has arrived. But second thing I want to show you from verse 16 is that His birth matters because He gives us grace upon grace. Notice what He says, for from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. John says Jesus didn't come with a drop of grace. He came with fullness. He came full of grace. And He came with wave after wave of grace. What is this grace? Why do we need it? You know what grace is. Grace is that which you need for your guilt. Grace is that which you need for your shame. Grace is that which you need for your failures. Grace is that thing that you need that you can turn to for the fears that grip you. Grace is that thing that you need for the sins that you hide from. You are constantly battered in your conscience by your own wrongdoing. I'm not asking you, I know it's true. You try all kinds of therapeutic methods to avoid the nagging feeling that something is not right between you and the one who fashioned you. And from Him, John tells us, we did not receive the law, which in turn actually heaps guilt upon us. But John says, from Him we receive grace upon grace, an overflow of grace, an overflow of forgiveness, an overflow of a place to take my sins completely without fear of judgment. If you've been in any kind of relationship with any kind of person in your life, you will know that sooner or later there's going to be some kind of shame associated with your relationship with that person. You know this. Siblings are always fighting and then someone always remembers, do you remember when we were 7 and you did this to me? I said I'm sorry for the 300th time. Yeah, but I still remember it. It hurt me. I know, I'm sorry, but can we forget about this? When you make friendships, as you grow older and you go on in life, you have friendships, and in those friendships, things occur, and sometimes those friendships end. Why is it that you're no longer friends with all those people that you were friends with in primary or high school or even university? Why is it? Because things happened over time. There was shame associated with it. You did not receive grace upon grace. And so, or maybe you're the one who didn't give grace upon grace. And so then there was a natural parting. Even in marriage, we sometimes... I mean, how many jokes are there on the internet about how you are terrified of your spouse? It's there's just like this constant, oh man, she's gonna find out I did this again. Oh, he's gonna know that I messed up here again. When we're dealing with people, when we're in close proximity with people, there's going to be this growing, nagging issue of trying to hide because we are constantly messing up. But Christ comes not just as the meaning of the universe, the unifying principle of the universe. He comes to deal with the shame that we're all dealing with. He comes with grace upon grace. He comes to hide, to take your sins. He says, I want to know you as you are. Bring it all to me. I will wash it clean. Do not hide anything from me as you are. I will show you what true love is. I will love you and pursue you as you are, no matter what you have done. You just need to be honest with me. Be honest. Do not hide. Throughout the scriptures, we see Christ pursuing those who have sinned. Even in the Garden of Eden, he came down, walked among them, and asked them, what has happened? He did not, as soon as they mess up, just leave them and say, well, let me try again. No, he came and did what? Pursued them. And throughout the scriptures, that's what he does. Even culminating at the end with Peter. After Peter denied him 3 times, what did Christ do? He pursued him and restored him. And publicly restored his failing in the presence of his brothers that he had failed in front of. Because Christ is full of grace upon grace. Are you exhausted with guilt and shame? Are you tired of pretending? Well, you have come to the right place. In Christ Jesus, you find one who is full of grace. No, he does not. He doesn't just have a cup of grace. John tells us, he doesn't just have a well of grace. He is full of it. It keeps on coming. It has no end. You are called this evening to come to the one who is full of grace. Thirdly and finally, his birth matters because he reveals God to us. Look at verse 18. He says this. He says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Throughout history and throughout the world, we have all wanted to know what God looks like. We've all wanted to understand the nature and character of God. It's not so much about the form of him. Is he a man? Is he a snake? Is he a cow? Certainly you find that throughout cultures, throughout history, all over the world. But the issue is, what is he like? And at the heart of that question of what is he like is the key question. And here's the key question. How will he deal with me? How will he deal with me? If God is there, and he is, then what is he like? Because I need to know, how will he interact with me? How will he take care of me? What will he say to me? What is my purpose in his design? And Jesus Christ comes to reveal God. Jesus Christ comes to reveal so that you can know what God entirely is like. He comes in the flesh that we might dwell with him, but he comes also in the flesh that we might know him. Do you want to know God's compassion? Look to Jesus. Look at Jesus touching lepers. When everybody else runs away from anybody who's a leper, where does Christ go? He touches them. Do you want to know God's justice? Look at Jesus dealing with the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. When all the religious leaders are reusing their religious power in order to lord it over the people and oppress the people underneath them, Christ comes and calls out that hypocrisy. That shows you the justice of God. Do you want to know God's love? Look at Christ dying upon the cross and then saying to the Father, speaking about the ones who are killing him, and what does he say? Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. That is love. To die even for your very enemies. Do you want to know God's power? Well, dear friend, look no further than Christ Jesus rising from the grave. In Jesus Christ, we have God revealed to us. So if you want to know God, do not speculate. Do not guess. Do not try another story. Do not listen to somebody else. Here is the one who reveals him and reveals him perfectly. And this evening, you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have all your sins forgiven, and have life eternal welling up in you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, you are in every way excellent. And we do pray, Lord, that this evening you would reveal yourself to us, all of us in this auditorium, that we might know your excellence and know your greatness in our hearts and treasure you evermore. In your name we pray. Amen.